The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, it's Jordan Younger, your host of the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire podcast. Here we go deep on all things astrology, awakening, wellness, motherhood, channeling, aliens, and so much more. We have deep conversations. We go to other realms. It's a lot of fun. So stick around. Let's dive on in. I cannot wait to connect. Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Today we have a phenomenal guest who has been much requested, the amazing David Guillaume. What doesn't David do? I mean, most of you know him because he is a very powerful figure in Kabbalah. He's one of the leading Kabbalah teachers in the world. He is a full-time volunteer for all things Kabbalah, but he is also a channel, a deep, deep understander of self-transformation. And he is also one of the founders of Mary Ruth's Organics. He is married to Mary Ruth herself. She's been on the show many years ago. And David was always, as far as I knew, more of a behind-the-scenes guy. And recently, he started his Instagram, or started posting on his Instagram for the first time in 10 years, I think he said. And he has blown up. He has hundreds of thousands of followers. But beyond that, he has millions of people liking and sharing his videos. And that just goes to speak to what an incredible speaker he is. He is so wise. He's a powerful manifester. He was a self-made millionaire at 15 years old. And we all have a lot to learn from him. He is tremendously successful, but also tremendously down to earth. He speaks to everything in this conversation, from manifesting to soulmates, to relationships, to Kabbalah. And I know we've done a handful of Kabbalah episodes on the show. I would say this one is probably the deepest as far as like the topics that we get into. And he just has a lot to say about everything. So I told him next time we need to talk about aliens. That's the plan. And he was down for it, which means yes, he's definitely part of the TBB fam. So I'm very excited to get into this episode. And also, number one super exciting thing is this week we had a huge solar eclipse. And on the eclipse, I ended up announcing the new name of my meditation platform, which is the Quantum Method. I'm so excited about it. There will be full Quantum Method episodes to come. But if you haven't joined us, now is the time. We did a live channeling and meditation on Monday where I channeled the Pleiadians and things were really wild. I've been hearing that everybody watching the replay who didn't catch it in person is still getting the same chills and all the same feelings as the people who were there live. So you can still join now and experience that and harness this eclipse energy. I'm so excited about it. And also yesterday we launched the newest drop of TBB merch. So you can find that at the link in the show notes, as well as just on shopdearmedia.com. If you go to the Balanced Blonde section, it is an angel frequency sweat set. I'm wearing it now. You need it. It's everything. It's available for pre-order. Get your orders in this week. And without further ado, let's get into this episode with David Guillaume. Also, this is one that you're going to want to share online, on Instagram, on TikTok. send it to your friends, text it to your friends. If you share on Instagram, I will repost you. And I really feel like these are just the types of conversations that need to go viral because they're what the world needs more of at the moment. So please do share. I would be so honored, not just because this is my podcast, but because I want more people to be exposed to this information in the world. So with that, let's get into this combo. I was just in your house a couple days ago.
That's right.
Isn't that funny?
I thought I was going to be lucky enough that we're going to do it in my house.
And then I know. Your team was like, don't you just want to do it here on Wednesday? I was like, kind of. But also I'm going to be here doing them back to back. Your house is beautiful.
Thank you.
Studio is beautiful.
Thank you.
Got to see your cute kids. They were there, walking around. I was like, wait, I wish my toddler was here. It's so cute.
You have one.
I have one and I have one on the way.
Amazing.
Yeah. What's it like being a father of four under?
Have we already started?
Yes.
This is all organic.
Yeah.
What's it like being a father of four?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, I think the blessing is that Meredith knows how to create such beautiful structures, and mm-hmm. the way she runs the household and the children, it makes it super easy for me to just be the best version of me in the way that the kids need most. So I give all the credit to her.
Well, you guys make a very good team.
Thank you.
But she's also like a powerhouse working woman too. And then the systems and the structures and the motherhood, you guys are doing it all.
That's what she's best at. Her systems, her structures, her time management skills. She's learned not to waste time, especially on negativity or negative emotion. She's known for time management, but her strongest quality, I would say, is that she does not allow herself to focus too much on things that waste her consciousness mm-hmm. and her energy in that way, which I think allows her then to put all that energy and focus back into the business or the children and the household.
An amazing way to live life.
100%.
How do we do that? I feel like you also live that way.
Well, I was sharing this earlier on a different podcast that one of the most powerful qualities that I learned through Kabbalah and spirituality is to constantly simplify my life mm-hmm. and not to clutter it with more things to do. I think we're all kind of always looking for more things, more business, more even friendships, more relationships. Everything requires a lot of time and energy. Nothing mm-hmm. is just something small in your life. Everything is drawing energy from you. Even when you buy stuff, it takes energy from you. So you buy more clothing. The clothing requires energy from you, interestingly enough. You think it's there to serve you, but you actually start to serve the physical things in your life. The joke is a lot of my friends who maybe after they achieved a certain level of success and you know they got to a certain level, and the joke is if anyone ever buys a second property, it's like the most miserable thing because that property takes much more from you than mm-hmm. it will give, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a person buys a nice car or a boat or, I mean, things that people just buy more of. It doesn't have to be expensive things. It can be even small things. All of this stuff takes energy from you. So I've kind of learned to invest time only in that which I'm working on and go deep instead of going wide and bringing so many other energies into my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that allows for a tremendous amount of opening around creativity. And especially the other thing I'll mention is like I have a policy that anywhere from 20 to 50% of my day to keep free to allow a discussion with the universe, a discussion with the creator to bring the right ideas, the right creativity, the right messages. And I noticed that more results can be achieved when you have that portion of free time than if you filled up your entire day and had 100% of the time focused on doing something.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point. And it's interesting because we were just saying, pack your time, you're a generator, you live like a generator. And every time I've seen you, you're doing it all. There's a lot going on. And it's interesting to hear you say that 20 to 50% of your time is
actually free.
Yeah. But to speak with the universe, what does that look like for you?
So one of the things we share in Kabbalah is this whole concept of prayer. And I think that over thousands of years, religion has taken the meaning of prayer to be something else. But Kabbalah explains that the creator is a constant positive force of sharing and is static. So the creator is never changing. So when you have a good day or a bad day, nothing is actually changing with the light of the creator. In the same way that the sun shines, and when it becomes nightfall, it's not that the sun stopped shining. It's just that your perspective of how you receive the sun changes. Or if you pull down the curtain or a cloud comes, you experience darkness, but nothing actually changed with the Creator. Why that's important is every time you're going through something difficult, you have to remember that it is an illusion. That the challenge and pain you're experiencing, actually, nothing's ever changed. You didn't lose anything. You didn't lose the relationship. You didn't lose the money. You didn't lose that thing you once had. And as a result, now you feel pain. All that's changed is the perspective of the vessel relative to the energy, if that makes sense. So what prayer does, it's not changing the Creator. You're not bribing God when you pray. Prayer is a technology that transforms your vessel to be able to capture and hold the energy that is already there, just unrevealed to you. So part of what I'll do is anything that I'm looking to receive in my life, before I go to try to receive it, I'll literally walk out in the streets. I like to do it while I'm walking, and I'll talk out loud and say conversationally about that which I'm trying to manifest. And the deeper you feel it, the more powerful of a vessel you build. And then I'll listen to what the energy says about how to go about it. I've done that with hiring. I've done that with product innovation. I've done that with people in my life that I need to speak to, or somebody I need to help, or I'll ask, you know, how do I help this family member who's not feeling well, or someone has a challenge and they're like, oh, they're going through a relationship issue. What should I do? I'll say, well, let me get back to you. I try not to always answer right on the spot. And I'll talk to the universe to build an internal vessel to receive that light, that message, let's say for them or whoever. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a very underutilized tool and technology spiritually that if people use, they would see tremendous amounts of manifestation and mm-hmm. faster.
I love that so much. And I totally agree. So backing it up just a little, because I have so many questions about in particular. How did you find Kabbalah?
So I'm 40 now. And when I was 15 years old, my uncle, who had been studying Kabbalah and spirituality for a while, and he's like, look, I know you, I know your soul, I think you would really love this. I was not into religion in any way or any kind of dogmatic tradition. So I said, you know what? I'll go, I'll see what it's like. It blew me away. It explained like so many secrets to life. I was young, but I was ambitious. And once I got into it, and I loved it, I started to like volunteer, I started to go deeper into it. I realized it was the most fulfilling thing. When I was 19 years old, I graduated from UCLA a little bit early, and I took this vow of poverty and I joined a nonprofit to just spread Kabbalah all around the world. And that's all I did 24/7. So I went to 50-100 different cities and countries all around the world, seminar, different places. It was also a time where Kabbalah was opening up to the world and people were learning about it. So I got the opportunity to be part of that. And it was the most fulfilling, enlightening, growth-oriented experience ever. I was 29. That's when I met Mary Ruth. And we started the brand about a year later when I was around 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And I can say like so much of what goes into the building of the brand, because I didn't have any experience with business or, you know, I never built a company before, no finance background. But I lived vicariously through the people that I taught and coached. I saw so much of what they did right and wrong spiritually. So many of these secrets were applied to the building of the brand.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. That's so cool. The Kabbalah is so interwoven through it all.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I'm just sure you have many podcasts about this. A lot of people often don't know what Kabbalah is. And Kabbalah is just universal spiritual technology, existed since the beginning of time. All the great souls and sages understood and had incorporated this wisdom in their lives. And I teach this to every kind of religion, every spiritual background. You know, my social media is comprised of everyone from atheists to Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Catholic, Jews. And the main feedback I get is when you learn this wisdom, you tap into your culture, traditions, and religions even deeper mm-hmm. because you understand the spiritual side of it.
Totally. I have been a huge fan of Olive and June for years. I love the founder, Sarah. She's amazing. And I just feel better with a manicure. I think most people, especially women, would agree. And I love doing my nails at home. I do not like going to the nail salon. I am one of those girls who just doesn't like spending time doing that. And I also have never been very good at doing my own nails. But then when Olive and June's Manny system came out, everything changed for the better. They have everything you need for a salon quality manicure in one box with salon grade tools designed just for DIY. You can customize it with your choice of 6 polishes. This polish doesn't chip and lasts for 7 days or more. And the amazing thing is it breaks down to just $2 per manicure. I love how easy it is, how affordable it is. I don't miss anything about driving to go sit at the salon and all of those things. And I just love like a light pink for my nails. I'm a very light pink kind of gal, very not neutral, but bright, especially because it's springtime. And they have a ton of fierce and loving colors that you guys are going to love. Also, their press-ons are better than gel, so you'll love those as well. And their quick dry dries in about a minute and is offered in 40 plus cruelty-free and vegan polishes. Visit oliveandjune.com/balanced for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/BALANCED for 20% off your first system. All right, guys, let's talk about AG1. I have been drinking AG1 for years. There is a reason why they have been on the show for so long, and it's because I have had such a good experience all the way around. When I first started drinking AG1 daily, it's when I was freshly postpartum. I needed more energy. I needed to focus. I mean, I was a sleep deprived new mother. And AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition. They are continuously refining their formula to create a smarter and better way to elevate your baseline health. So it's kind of amazing. You can replace your daily multivitamin with AG1, but every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support, magnesium and B vitamins for energy support, adaptogens to balance your body's stress levels, vitamin C and zinc to help support your immune health. I mean, there is a reason why I'm still talking about it. AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support of my body needs daily. And that's why they've been a partner for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/blonde. That is drinkag1.com/blonde. Check it out. And your social media that just started 4 months ago. We have to talk about this. Yeah. You were not on social media.
I mean, I had a handle. I don't think I posted for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I think maybe 1,000 followers. And I was mainly focused on brand building. Because again, I learned if you have to manifest something, you just have to focus on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to do too many things at once. So all I was doing was building the brand and just teaching live classes and seminars like mm-hmm. once or twice a week. And then someone's like, I think it's time. Like, we have to bring this content out to the world. I got some messages around it. I prayed on it. It was great. I actually walked and I asked, well, I want it to be authentic. I want it to be unique to me. I don't want to just copy styles and what other people are doing. Like, I really tried to like pray and meditate and visualize what it would look like. And it's interesting because when I did that, I got a kind of a vision of content that people might like and how to bring this wisdom of Kabbalah practically to the world. And I think it was like the first or second video I just posted. It was crazy. It got like millions of views, like 30, 40, 50,000 shares, something crazy. And I saw energetically like there was permission that the world would want to hear this content. And so, yeah, I had no following probably 3-4 months ago. And it's been a blessing. And I don't monetize it in any way, which I think is also helpful. It's all 100% of anything that comes from that goes to charity as well. And I think it's just that needs to be the energy of giving that mm-hmm. back out to the world.
Totally. And you've tapped into something in the universe there to manifest that, to just speak that into existence. And then it happened. How do we do this? Like, I'm talking beyond social media, whatever somebody's goal, whether they want to grow their presence, they want to have their voice heard. How do you really tap in that authentic way? Because I would say some people try to do that for decades and they have a hard time.
It's interesting. I've never been asked this question before on a podcast. I've given this lesson in, I think it's a live seminar, a Kabbalah 2 seminar. It's called the manifestation formula. And I talk about four main categories that people can go into. We can go into it now if you want.
Please.
Basically, whenever I want to manifest something, I have to overwhelm the system energetically and spiritually to leave no space for any excuse by the universe not to manifest it. And what does that look like? What does it mean to overwhelm the system? I kind of use this analogy around Amazon, and those who maybe are entrepreneurial, or you sell on Amazon, or you're familiar with how Amazon works, it's very similar. Like, if you want to launch a product, like let's say I want to sell this bottle of water. There are thousands of brands out there that are water, mineral water, flavored water, whatever. And here's my little brand, and I want to put this on Amazon. And on day one, I'm going to be on the, 500th page. No one's going to find this bottle. So how do I get this product to be on page number one that is relevant to all of America to look at, right? That's the question. So the way the Amazon algorithm works is very much how the spiritual algorithm works, which I'll explain. So I'm trying to make these comparisons. So sometimes people relate to business comparisons. So Amazon basically trying to see if this product is relevant to the consumer. So in the past, when we would launch a product, we would drive tremendous amounts of traffic to the listing. We would do all different kinds of marketing promotions. We would kind of hit the listing from so many different angles where we overwhelmed. We like almost suffocated the system. We suffocated the listing to the point where Amazon's algorithms were like, what is going on here? Everyone is so interested from this product. There are people coming from YouTube, people coming from Facebook, people coming from Instagram, people coming from Twitter. Like, we would bring marketing from so many different angles. So for example, if you had $5,000 to spend, you don't just spend it from Facebook. You spend maybe $1,000 on each platform, because when Amazon sees that there's interest from so many different areas, it triggers them to basically take the product up to the first page. You're telling Amazon that the consumer really wants this product. So it's kind of like that. So spiritually, that's how things work. When you want to manifest something, you can't just like lightly, it's like shattering a rock. You don't just tap on the rock. You have to take big swings over and over again to break it down. And so, for example, if a person wants to manifest their soulmate, or love, which I imagine it's like number
one. A lot of listeners are going to want this.
So there's four buckets. Bucket number one is maximum spiritual work. What does that mean? When you learn Kabbalah or any spiritual modality, you start to learn the things that you know you need to do to grow spiritually. There are some that right away you work on and you're excited to. And then there's ones that are a little bit deeper, harder. It's tough. You know, it's relationships you have to heal, traumas you have to deal with, fears that you have to break. Sometimes you do it, sometimes you don't. But you have to know that your spiritual work is very much tied to the finding of your soulmate. That's the first quadrant. The more effort you put on your spiritual work, and it may have nothing to do with your love life, but if you break your fears and you push through your negativity, transform, this is the first step of manifesting your soulmate. So that would be the first bucket. And again, I'm taking like a 3-4 hour seminar. I'm bringing it down to 3-4 minutes. So just bear with me. Second category, called the maximum physical work. So in that area, you know, there's four levels of attraction that people need to focus on. And when I talk to men who are looking for women, or women are looking for men, or any kind of partner, everyone kind of falls in these same buckets. Everyone's looking for someone attractive, but not just physically attractive. There's emotional attraction, physical attraction, spiritual attraction, and intellectual attraction. And if each one of us had to rate ourselves, or even have our friends rate us, where are we at? Are we making the maximum effort to be attractive? Not because we want people's approval, but because we want to be the highest versions of ourselves. If our spiritual goal is to become like the Creator, that's what Kabbalah says, to become like the Creator. The Creator is strong. The Creator is beautiful. The Creator has it all. The creator is not weak. It's not a victim. The creator isn't constantly worrying about the past or worrying about the future. The creator is highly present. So when you start to look at all the qualities of the creator, that is what constitutes attractive energy. And so in the physical world, if you're looking for a partner, you would want to focus on these four buckets. And we can talk endlessly about what these four buckets are, about how to do it, but I'll just kind of jump to the next two categories. The third category would be prayer. If you're looking for something, be clear about what you're looking for. I have so many people do like coaching sessions with me. I don't do them as much anymore, but when I used to do them, I said, well, what do you want? My first question, we have 30 minutes, what do you want? And they'll start talking, 10 to 15 minutes will go by, and I have no idea what they want. Mm-hmm. I said, if I'm confused about what you want, what do you think the universe is feeling?
Totally.
So you're confusing God. You're confusing the universe. Someone will say, I want someone who is emotionally available and strong and this, that, and the other thing. On the other hand, they say, well, I also want my independence and I don't want to lose my this and lose my that. So they're sending these conflicting messages out to the universe. What prayer does is it helps solidify your desire. Be clear about what you're looking for. Be clear, not just externally, but in your heart. Does your inside match your outside? And when I give this exercise to people, they see how much mismatch there is. And as a result, there's confusion in the universe. And that's why there's a delay in finding your soulmate. So that's the third quadrant. So much we can talk about there, but let's move on to the fourth. The fourth is certainty. Certainty that no matter what, you will manifest your happiness around love. Not certainty of this guy is my soulmate or that woman's my soulmate. That's lower vibration certainty. You cannot try to manipulate the world by saying this is mine or that's mine because you don't know. But certainty that I will, not even that I will, that I already have this energy. Certainty that I already have everything I'm looking for. That vibration then attracts similarity of form, which would be your partner. If you're coming from a place of lack, which is a place of doubt and fear and worry, you cannot attract that which you want. Mm-hmm. People try to live by the law of attraction. It's more about the law of resonance. What are you resonating with? And so certainty all the time, no matter what you're doing, I have complete certainty that I already have everything. I have complete certainty that the creator is with me. I have complete certainty that I will manifest love. And the more you can transform doubts to certainty, These four buckets in total, doing it all the time, over and over again, you accelerate the process of finding your soulmate in this case, or anything you're focused on. And that's how you manifest.
That's amazing.
There's a lot of content there.
There is, but I'm like, my mind is spinning because it's true. I totally agree. And for people who just don't know how to feel certain because they don't know what it feels like, what's the tip?
So yeah, how do you tap into certainty? First off, I think the mantra of telling your body and your brain what you want it to believe in, this is a very underutilized tool. So I'm talking to myself all day long. I'm reminding my body and my mind, which sometimes likes to live in the past or worry about the future or hang out at these very low vibrations or be lazy or be judgmental and jealous. I'm reminding my body. It's like two separate forces. My soul is talking to my body and mind saying, hey guys, look, I get that you're tired. I get that you're upset right now. I get that you feel hurt, but there's only one rule. We have to act like the creator. If you act like the creator, you get the creator. So despite what your logic is telling you, and the logic is very strong because your five senses are basically saying, look, I don't have money. I don't have a relationship. I have this health challenge. I can't have a child. I'm gaining weight. Like there's all these things that your logic is five senses are telling you. But what I learned in Kabbalah when I was 15 years old, this is what blew me away. If you turn on the light, the darkness goes away. Turn on the light, darkness goes away. What does it mean to turn on the light? Act like the light. Act like the creator. The darkness goes away. Well, how does it go away? Who cares? Don't think about the how. Don't worry about how the universe will show up for you. Every day, the compound effect of having this high vibration, of acting like the light, that's what Kabbalah explains, like all the qualities of how to act like the creator. This will then compound into certainty. Every day that you break a fear, you get more certainty. Every day you go outside your comfort zone, you get more certainty. Every day you say thank you to something doesn't go your way, you get more certainty. Every time you decide to let go of toxicity, toxic friends, mm-hmm. toxic culture, anything you're doing that's lowering your vibration, you start to get more certainty. By the way, sleeping well, you have more certainty. Exercising, you have more certainty. So the basic things of taking care of your body, 100% create a better platform mm-hmm. for having more certainty. So all of that and any little bit of that can give you more certainty.
This is so helpful. And it's so true. I'm thinking about something that a shaman told me when I was doing a plant medicine ceremony with Jenna in Spain.
Wow.
And
how long ago was this?
A year and a half ago. So October 2022. And it was so deep. This was like a huge dose of mushrooms. We can talk about this.
Yes.
The Kabbalistic thoughts on plant medicine. And I've done a lot of plant medicine, but I was having a really intense time.
This,
this was not my first time, yeah. but this was a huge dose. Yeah. And the shaman had said to me specifically.
So was this ayahuasca? Was this mushrooms? Ayahuasca? What
was this? This was mushrooms.
Just mushrooms. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just mushrooms.
Okay.
So having done ayahuasca before and having done mushrooms, mushrooms had always been a lighter experience.
Sure.
You could prance around the backyard. Everything looks beautiful.
So what dose was this now that you took?
I'm curious. This was about 5 grams.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm a small person. Not only am I a small person, I am a sensitive person.
Oh my gosh.
And that's what matters a little bit more. And so the shaman had told me exactly what you just said, because I said, there's so much darkness. I'm so scared. I feel so much darkness. I see terrifying things. Mm. My ancestors are coming in. Everything looks really dark. And he said, shine the light, shine the light. And I just kept
so
trying
beautiful.
And trying. And it was true. And I felt how true that was. It's a lesson that has stuck with me.
That is such a profound and powerful lesson that what you're saying and what everyone should always know is no matter how dark it is, the light is always stronger than the darkness. The creator mm-hmm. created the darkness. So in the same way, if you go back to the source, you undo the darkness and you actually realize the darkness was never even there to begin with.
Totally. The shaman said the same thing. He said the darkness doesn't even exist. It's like this scared version of you, but correct. It just needs the light.
Correct. Because a lot of people ask, well, why even have the darkness? Why would the creator create the darkness?
Right?
And it is important that the darkness becomes the vessel for the light. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't have the darkness, we wouldn't feel that we earned the creator and we would feel a sense of shame. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why we came to this world. So there's the great Kabbalist, Rav Yehuda Ashlag, used to say the greatest moment of his life, and he got to this consciousness where he felt euphoria. He felt like the pleasure you would feel from the best drugs. He felt this naturally. He said, the greatest moments of my life when I'm most euphoric are when I'm completely confused and I have no idea what's going to happen next. This I know is the greatest moment of my life, because that means your ego is completely nullified. A new vessel is being created. This darkness means a new vessel is being created. It means a new light is coming. New wealth is coming. New wisdom is coming. New health is coming. New love is coming. Every time you feel confused, it's because something new and powerful is coming. Mm. The faster you can get to certainty, acceptance, and joy, the faster you allow that vessel to solidify to let that new energy in.
Wow. I love that so much. It's true. The darkness has to be there, because that duality is so important, even though the darkness can be so hard.
Correct.
For things like anxiety, and I've struggled with anxiety and with a lot of chronic health conditions. Mm. So for people who are listening, who have suffered from any of the above, yeah. what's your take?
It's interesting. I've spoken to so many people. Let's talk about health, because that's a tough one. Health is often the fourth level of a message from the universe to help build you to something great, to a higher level of consciousness. And I remember, I haven't told this story so often, but I remember it clearly. When I was teaching in New York City, I was teaching in Tribeca, and it was a group of about 40 people, and most of them were friends with each other. And in the first class, someone walks in. He couldn't see and he didn't have legs. So he was actually, he came in with crutches, and you know, we all kind of looked at him. I was curious how he found Kabbalah and why he came. But one thing I noticed about him, he had this huge smile on his face. Like, he was always happy. And so he couldn't see. He couldn't walk, but throughout the whole session, I would say things, he would be nodding his head, he would be laughing. Several weeks went by, and finally he raised his hand after I asked the question. He said, you know, he shared something profound. And I said, can I ask you a question? Like, what's your story? In front of the whole class. So he shared the story that he was 40 years old. And when he was 37, he woke up one day and he couldn't see. A few months later, something happened. He had to amputate both of his legs too. It's some kind of medical condition. I think it had to do with diabetes. I'm not sure. But he hadn't treated, he didn't treat it right. And he said that ever since that day, it was difficult. But now he's gotten to a place where he feels complete happiness and euphoria all the time. And so I had him explain it. He's like, look, before when I could see and I had legs and I lived life like normal, like everybody else, I was constantly frustrated, constantly angry, in a rat race, high corporate job, all these things. He said, now something that happened to me awakened a higher part of my soul where I'm constantly accessing certainty and wisdom. I have no anxiety. I have no fear. I have no fear of death. And I enjoy life in a way I've never enjoyed before. And that always stuck with me because he doesn't have the things that we would consider the table stakes for happiness. Mm-hmm. He cannot move on his own. He cannot see the beauty of this world, but he sees through a different lens. He experiences life from a whole different dimension. And so the happiness that we're all looking for, he experiences every moment. And that was very freeing for me.
Yeah.
Because I think we're also afraid. We think, well, if I can never have children, I won't be happy. Or if if I have this health condition the rest of my life, I won't be happy. Or if this. And look, health conditions really can knock the dopamine out. And it's very difficult. But he was a shining example that the light of the Creator always has something waiting for you to help you access happiness and fulfillment. And you do not have to be afraid. You may not see where it's going to come from or how it's going to come, but as long as you have that certainty and you hold on and you don't escape, you don't shut down, you don't get sad, the Creator will show you that consciousness the way that student once had.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the hardest things can be a gift, can be the ultimate gift.
That's what it did for him. It pushed him. He realized this is my scenario. And as a result, he accepted it. And then the acceptance is huge. I've noticed the greatest healing come to people where you find the right doctor, you find the right medicine, you find all of a sudden the Google algorithm spits out something to you it never did. After you fully accept and are happy with your situation, like you're like, this crappy situation, this horrible feeling, you know what? I fully accept it.
It's so true. The surrender.
I'm sure you've experienced that.
I have many times. With calling things in too, with manifesting, the more that you feel like I can't live without this, I need this, the harder it is to have.
Correct. Another great secret to manifestation is that feeling that you already have it and you vibrate on that level. I try to think of if ever I go to a business meeting or some kind of event where I need something or I need to manifest something or I'm working to get something. There's nothing more dangerous than walking into anywhere thinking you need something. You are attracting chaos. That needy vibration, no matter who you are, is going to be felt and it repels people. You will not manifest what you're looking for. I make sure that whatever I walk into, walk in as the giver. Walk in already feeling you have it. Don't look to take. The best salespeople I know are never selling. They're not thinking about their commission. They're not thinking about how to close you. They could care less even. They've risen above it. They just want to vibrate and offer you something that they truly think is helpful to you. And then I feel like sometimes I don't even need the product, but I feel compelled to buy it because their energy is so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Energy is everything. Everything, everything. This is going way back to soulmates, that conversation. I'm just curious, do you feel like people, like soulmates, travel between lifetimes together?
That's a great question. Somebody just asked me this before. And one of the things I wanted to highlight is a lot of times people are in relationships that they're not happy with, or they're not sure if it's their soulmate. And, you know, they're afraid of separation or divorce and it gets very complicated. One of the things I share with them is your soulmate isn't necessarily a person, but it's a soul. So you could be with someone, you could be partnered with someone or married to someone. And if you truly transform who you are and break through who you are, you'll shift to a new destiny where the soul of your soulmate can enter the body of the person you're married to now, where the very next day, that man or that woman becomes somebody totally different. I've seen this so many times before. People come, will take Kabbalah classes and they'll become spiritual and they'll grow. They'll say, oh, you know, my husband or my wife, she's just not into it. She doesn't want to grow. She doesn't want to change. And, you know, I'm not sure. It's my soulmate. I hear this all the time. I say, look, just focus on yourself for the next 3 months. Let's elevate your soul to such a powerful level. What's going to happen? You'll reach another destiny, another movie where you will merit your soulmate. And they say, well, does that mean I'm getting divorced? I say, no. Very well could be that the soul of your soulmate enters your husband while he's sleeping.
Oh, wow.
After a certain day that you transform something big. And I've seen so many times that these men or women who are on this path of spirituality, then 3, 4, 5 months later, their spouse or their partner will reach out to me or will come to a class and I say to them, I say, what compelled you to come? Say, I don't know. I woke up one day, I just said I had to come to this.
Wow.
I used to judge my wife for being spiritual and they actually become more involved than the first spouse.
That is so interesting.
So yeah, so anybody who's listening to this, like you can have whatever destiny, you can manifest whatever you want, but it depends on you, your consciousness, your spiritual work.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, so souls traveling between lifetimes, you would say yes. However, it's not people. It's not like enter the body.
So yeah, we can talk hours.
I'm fascinated.
Just about reincarnation, how souls work. But one of the ways to look at it is, let's say, for example, Jordan has a certain mission in this lifetime, certain what we call in Kabbalah, tikkun, corrections that we need to make. And let's say, for example, you couldn't fulfill your soul's correction in this lifetime for whatever reason. In the reincarnation process, which can take up to 12 months, there's a whole secret around that, the soul shatters. And let's just say for simplicity, the soul can break up into 4 more souls, each one taking 25% of the correction. And the reason for that is it's deemed that one soul couldn't handle the burden of that correction to transform those fears and that spiritual baggage. So it's shattered into many different souls and each takes a piece. So in many ways, this shattering of those souls, those are all soulmates in many ways. They could be soulmates in friends, in businesses. It can be a romantic soulmate. And this shattering has happened thousands of times. So there are so many people in the world who have a fragment of our soul that we feel such a connection with. These souls can also manifest in animals. And we see this. People who have animals, they feel the human element of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, for the animal, the soul in the animal to elevate to the human kingdom, I talked about this in one of my posts recently, the animal needs to serve and bring love to its master. And by doing so, it will then pass away, which isn't a negative thing. Sometimes people, it's very painful, but you need to know if your domesticated animal has passed away, it means it has done its job of serving you. And now its soul can reincarnate back into a human kingdom, actually be close to you in a different way.
Wow.
And why souls get trapped in animals or plants or minerals, that's a whole different discussion, but that can happen too.
That is so fascinating. I have a cat who is my soulmate. So it's very fitting.
How long have you had the cat?
So he's 8 years old.
Wow.
And I've had him since he was like 2 weeks. He's my everything.
And you feel the human element, I'm sure.
Oh, of course.
That's right.
And he's so intuitive. And animals are so intuitive. But he's a healer.
Beautiful.
And he is next level. So I'm sure a lot of people can relate.
And you are doing so much for him by allowing him to serve you and bring you love. This is huge. So there are animals, you know, if people grow animals or even in some people who eat animals, if you eat animals in whatever way you do, having consciousness. And
yes.
I mean, there's so much of a process if the animal is treated in a humane way, and having consciousness in the eating also helps elevate the soul if that's, you know, part of your diet.
Are you vegetarian?
So I think earlier on, maybe 10 years ago, I flirted with a vegan diet. It was very difficult for me. In the last 2 years, I switched to probably a 90% protein diet. Changed my life.
Oh, wow.
Energy went through the roof. My body slimmed down. My hormones normalized. Sleep was better. For me, 90% protein, 10% carb, workout every day. I like to swim every other day. Cold and heat, do a lot of that. Do peptides, dabbled in hormone therapy.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things have made me feel today at 40, you know, better than I felt when I was 20.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So protein being like beef and everything.
Grass-fed grass finished, organic. And it's interesting, kosher, people think kosher is a Jewish thing. Mm-hmm. Kosher is actually a spiritual thing. It has to do with the way the animal is slaughtered. It allows, because it's slaughtered in a way where there's no pain. The animal feels no pain. And that's what allows the soul of the animal to leave and reincarnate in a way that brings energy to the meat. And if the animal is killed in an inhumane way, it can trap the soul in the meat and cause a different kind of problem. So when a person eats it, you know, you're kind of oftentimes assuming the negativity of, mm-hmm. by the way, your audience likes this kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, we definitely follow along.
I've never been down this rabbit hole, but
it's a good one.
So sometimes people think it's a religious thing. It's all spiritual. It's all energy. You know, the Old Testament was all just secrets of technology of the soul. If you read it literally, you don't get much from it, but there's a spiritual side to it. So I make sure there's a certain type of meat or chicken or fish that is the purest quality, humane, how it was sacrificed and slaughtered, and as a result, eat it in a very clean way.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I've done a similar path, vegan for many years and vegetarian. Now I do eat protein.
How do you feel now?
I feel a lot better. Yeah. And nothing wrong with the vegan diet.
Nothing
I think it
wrong.
Served me very well.
Our
at
brand
the time.
Is vegan.
Yes, your brand is amazing. I love all things vegan supplements and vegan products forever. And just switching gears a little bit, within Kabbalah, what is your role? I know that you are one of the leading teachers in Kabbalah, but what do you do there and what do you dedicate your time to?
So probably about 50% of my time I dedicate to, you know, this is the part where I love to give back. And I probably 2 to 3 times a week, I'll teach a seminar either here in Los Angeles or I'll travel around the world, different cities. I do it all for charity. I do a couple private coaching sessions as just a way to give back also. And then my big thing is now that social media has kind of taken off, people who want to learn more, I filmed one of my most popular courses into a masterclass format. So well done, so well produced. Pretty much putting out there for charity, whatever people want to pay, they can take it. And that's been a life-changing experience. So I have, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people around the world taking that on their own. And that is what's changing their lives. And I'm just trying to find ways to build an ecosystem and a community to support that. So that's been kind of my focus last 4 months.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's all recent.
Yeah. So I've been teaching this course for 20 years. Milk Studios came in and filmed it professionally about 5 years ago, and then we put it in the masterclass format. And we have a pay what you can model. People want to pay $1, they can. And it just went viral. And so many people around the world, I was just telling you earlier, like I think the majority of like thousands of people in India and Africa and Europe and all around started to take the class. And I get hundreds of messages a day about how from every religious background, every spiritual modality, people saying they've never heard content like this and it's changed their lives.
It's really different than anything else.
Yeah.
Kabbalah really is. Yeah. And I've always been so drawn to Kabbalah, so intrigued.
I didn't know that you'd been studying for a while. I had no idea.
Uh-huh. Well, off and on. I haven't been super consistent, but I have just been interested.
Yeah.
And I grew up Jewish and I always felt the connection to something so much more spiritual and so much more mystical.
Yes.
And then, just it always comes into my life through Jenna, through Monica and Michael, through you, through so many friends that I've had to the point where it's hit me over the head. I think I woke up, like you said, some souls wake up and they're like, oh, I have to go to a talk today.
Because Jenna's been studying for a long time.
So
when I went on her podcast a couple of weeks ago, and then we posted it. I literally got hundreds of messages from people saying, first time I heard about it, I took Kabbalah 1, which is what the masterclass is. And, you know, relationships changed, financial situation changed, consciousness changed. Because it's finally like a roadmap.
Yes. And it's so grounded.
Very grounded. Very
and
practical.
You're very good at explaining it. Like, it's indescribable. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And I listened to both your episodes with Jenna today, just to kind of get in the headspace of talking to you today. And I was telling her on the way here, there were multiple things that changed my life. Like,
wow.
The way that you described, and this is a whole other topic, which we could do a whole podcast on, but we'll just give a bite size.
So friendship breakups, like when things are getting difficult or when you part ways with someone and it's really painful for someone who is sensitive, like myself, I have considered myself a people pleaser. I've always wanted everyone to like me. I never let go of friends. And I tend to just love people no matter what, even when things run their course. So what you said on her podcast was something along the lines of, it's not the person that you love, it's the universe masking itself as a person. And the way that you said it really made me feel good about the art of surrender. So is that something that you could say again here?
I must have been channeling something at that moment.
Totally.
That what? Tell me more.
Okay,
I want to tap into it.
It's like tapping into the feeling that having these great friendships gives you. What is the feeling? The feeling's good. It's positive. I feel loved. I feel supported. And then rather than feeling like that can only happen with that person who you've lost, knowing that maybe parting ways with that person was the best thing that could have ever happened.
Yes.
So that you can have that feeling again with the right person.
Yes. Yeah. So the feeling that you have with any positive feeling you have with someone, and then that person either leaves or you decide that they need to exit your life, you need to know that that positive feeling isn't going to leave with them. That positive feeling belongs to you. That energy belongs to you, and someone else will be a channel or a manifestation of it. In fact, if not in a greater way. And I see this also with employees all the time. If you have an employee who's not performing well or who doesn't want to be there, maybe you classify them as a B or C player. As a result, they're not performing in a way that your company needs. You have to know you're doing a disservice, not just to your company, not just to their colleagues, but also to that employee.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this oftentimes. People hold on because they're afraid to, you know, cause a problem, or they're afraid to let them down. And obviously, you should try your best to elevate them. But if they cannot, letting them go can be the absolute best thing. We've let go of people who we knew it wasn't their place in the company, and then they went somewhere else and they were thriving. Sometimes people are holding on to relationships thinking that they feel bad. You know, number one reason why people don't break up toxic relationships is because they feel bad for the other person.
Mm-mm.
So they'll hold on to something that doesn't feel right because they don't want to hurt the person. They feel bad, they don't want to hurt the person. But I've seen sometimes when you finally let it go, that person meets someone and they thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're worshipped and they're adored and they don't feel like they're in this like constant abusive relationship anymore. So letting go is so powerful. When you feel drained, let go. That's kind of my rule. If you feel drained over time and you're trying so many things, just let go.
Mm-hmm.
And allow the healing to happen for both of you. You're not going to lose anything. You're both going to gain something so beautiful.
I love that. Such a good reminder for all of us sensitive souls on this podcast, which is everybody listening. Oh my goodness. Okay, so just taking it all the way back, and then we'll wrap it up and I'll ask you some of the rapid fires.
Sure.
How did Kabbalah originate? Like, who started Kabbalah?
So the history, actually, it's explained that the wisdom of Kabbalah existed since the beginning of time. It's kind of the wisdom of creation. The first big souls to bring it down in a way that it was taught to the world was Abraham. And it was embedded in kind of all the major religions that came from Abraham. So the Eastern philosophies and religions, Christianity and Catholicism and Judaism, all the inner spiritual framework is Kabbalah. You know, Jesus was a Kabbalist. Moses was a Kabbalist. Abraham was a Kabbalist. King David was a Kabbalist. Joseph the righteous was a Kabbalist. Like all the prophets, they were all Kabbalists. So being a Kabbalist simply means you understand the why. You understand the light and the vessel. You understand cause and effect behind all of the teachings, whether it's the Quran or the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. The deeper inner workings is what Kabbalah is. Kabbalah means the secrets. Now, that was passed down generation to generation. Moses, when he gave the Bible to humanity, also orally taught the secrets, which is Kabbalah, to all the prophets, and that was passed down. And it says even Jesus taught this wisdom. So over time, all these great souls retained and passed down this wisdom as an oral tradition until it was finally written down 2,000 years ago by a great soul. His name is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and he wrote it in the text that's called the Zohar, which pretty much decodifies the entire Old Testament word by word, explaining spiritual secrets.
Wow. That's so fascinating.
Yes, and what we try to do in the Kabbalah Center is just make that ultra practical.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For everyone, right? And kind of give you, there's infinite classes. I mean, I think I've given thousands of courses on virtually every topic, and I have probably 100 colleagues around the world who are the most special souls who have given thousands more. Like, there is infinite content on virtually every subject. Even you mentioned aliens and UFOs. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff is discussed.
I think we should do an episode on aliens, the Kabbalistic take.
After my session with Jenna, I think we got so much feedback and requests to go deeper. So I think the next one we did was reincarnation. And we have, we have a couple more lined up. So I'm sure if your audience wants to go deeper on any subject, we can set up a part two.
Yes. You guys, tell us your requests. We want to hear. So just a couple rapid fires that I ask everyone.
Please.
What is your sun, moon, and rising signs?
I am an Aquarius. Mm-hmm. Aquarius Pisces. So in the lunar calendar, I'm a Pisces. In the solar, I'm an Aquarius. My rising is Taurus. And my moon is Gemini.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And do I remember correctly that you and Mary Ruth have the same birthday?
Same birthday, same year, 3 hours apart.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Talk about soulmates.
Well, I was born 10:20 a.m. in Los Angeles. She was born 3 p.m. in New Jersey.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Our moms are in labor at the same time. Yes.
Yeah. That's so cool.
So I think the only difference is her rising sign. I think she's rising Leo, I think.
Oh, yeah. Because the rising changes very often. Yeah,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you said you're a generator in human design.
Just found that out.
Cool.
Yeah, Jenna did my...
Well, I figured you would know because you've been spending time with her.
Yeah, I said, Jenna, I know you don't do these charts anymore, but you got to do mine.
Oh, she'll do them for friends.
She's
and
like, for you, I'll do it. Sat down for 30 minutes and she blew me away.
Yeah, it's life changing.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's my first real intro. I heard about it so... Everyone's been talking about it. And then finally, when I got down into it, I said, well, this is really beautiful.
Yeah. And then if you could be in a room with three people, living or dead, who would they be?
I would put my teacher, Michael Berg, who you just came on your podcast.
Yes, love him so much.
Every time I'm in a room with him and any other great soul, where the conversation goes spiritually is just mind-boggling to me. I would put Elon Musk because what do I love about him? His ability to manifest. That vessel, that man has a vessel that can channel wisdom and manifest it. A lot of people channel wisdom, but don't manifest. A lot of people don't have access to wisdom, but they're great manifestors.
Mm-hmm.
He has both. And I would want to just feel that vibration and that aura. And the third, I would probably say, that's a good one. I would say I do have, because of my Amazon days, I do have an obsession with Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd probably want him in the room too. And I'd probably ask the three of them, just what is your secret to manifestation? Yeah. And I just want to hear the way they say it. I want to listen to their words, listen, feel the vibration and download the vibration. It's not even about what they say. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're going to say, you know, we've heard it 1,000 times, but it's the vibration. When you're around people like that, it's
exactly.
Magnetic.
Exactly. Oh my God. And then you would have to do that and then film the whole thing.
Yes,
because and then like make it a Kabbalah 3 or whatever. That's so cool. Love. And then what are you excited about right now?
What am I excited about right now? I would say I'm simplifying my life to be just excited about two things. One is I think where the brand is at, you know, we're the fastest growing vitamin mineral supplement brand in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of the few brands that are even growing. Most of the brands, especially after they've been acquired by, you know, the Nestle's and Procter's, mm-hmm. Gamma's of the world, they don't grow really anymore. Once the founders leave and that magic leaves,
mm-hmm.
it's much harder. Not all of them, but most of them. And I think we're so excited and passionate about the brand, about innovation. Like we have 150 new products coming out. We're just expanding rapidly in retail because we've been mainly an online brand. So there's so much we want to do. And I think in 3 to 4 years, we can be the largest vitamin brand in the world. We're not too far off. So I think I'm very excited about that. That's what gets my creative juices flowing. And then I think on the spiritual side, I want to bring this wisdom to the world
mm-hmm.
in any way I can. I'm building out a team of volunteers now who are just anything we can do to support bringing this wisdom out, bringing the content out, ways that people can enjoy it, building community, you know, being there for people because people's lives are changing so quickly. People get more out of like 3 hours of Kabbalah than they say, often 5-10 years of therapy.
Wow.
And not that therapy is bad. In fact, I think they're extremely complementary. But when you get that spiritual right to the point message, it's very healing
mm-hmm.
and therapeutic. So I think that's going to be a big focus of mine now.
Well, I'm excited to see where you go with everything.
Thank you.
And you're welcome back on anytime.
Thank
this was
you,
already
Jen.
one of my favorite episodes, truly.
Thank you.
And we've done almost 400 over the years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing.
And this is truly, like, I could talk to you all day. I have hundreds more questions.
I love that.
But we'll do this again.
Thank you.
Next time I'll come to your house
so
that we can keep you in your studio.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And tell everybody just lastly where they can find you.
Yeah. If you want to hear my content, it's all free on my Instagram. It's just, my handle is David Guillam, G-H-I-Y-A-M. And if you want to go deeper, it's the masterclass, which is Kabbalah1.com. And again, it's a pay what you can model. All that goes to charity. And I answer all my messages, at least today I do.
Because you
I do. It's 100.
On Instagram?
On Instagram. It's about 100 a day. It's about 100 a day. I've learned to build anything, you need to invest your personal energy into it. Eventually, I won't be able to do that. But for now, if you have questions, if you need something, it's me. So
I love that. I have to say, when I messaged you after the event, you answered right away, and I was so impressed.
I'm answering almost,
very rare.
Unless somebody's writing me like a monologue of
exactly.
Like, here's 5,000 things happening in my life. What do I do? I'm responding pretty quickly.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing amazing work. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Joy.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Come say hi on Instagram at The Balance Wand and tell me what your favorite part of this episode was. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and send me a screenshot of your rating and review for a free Soul on Fire yoga ebook. See you next Wednesday. Love you guys.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.